Chris, you talked about the Patriots changing their image. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously last year this was as big an offensive explosion as we've ever seen, you know, between Tom Brady and Randy Moss and you know, Wes Welker and the numbers that those guys put up. It was remarkable. I mean, every week we sat there in the NBC studio with our mouths open and going, do you believe they're doing this again? And then the ultimate injury happening so early in the season, and in comes Matt Cassel, a guy that had never played since high school, and to watch this team sort of become a little bit more of a ball control, running, let's win it with the defense, maybe back to the old Giants days for Bill Belichick kind of a thing, and yet now we're starting to see on the offensive side they're stretching out a little bit more, you know. I mean, a willingness to do it, but you know, I mean, it was obvious last week watching this team that when they got the lead over Buffalo, they knew their defense was going to be able to hold it. So they go on, you know, whatever that 19-play drive, and you know, it's not that same, you know, pinball machine, light up the scoreboard kind of offense. But in some ways, it may even be more effective because of how well they're playing on the defensive side.
Chris, do you think that, I'm using finger quotes here, the whole game manager tag for Brett Favre, do you think that can stick, or do you think that we've seen him turn into anything that he hasn't been for the rest of his career?
You've been watching Brett as long as I have. He is what he is, you know, and I almost have to laugh when we talk about it because I know that that's part of what these coaches have to do with them. You know, I mean, it just is. Mike McCarthy last year, it was, you know, Brett, we've got a plan, and let's stick to the plan, and you know, we can't throw it up all the time, and we've got to take our shots. But at the same time, you know, Brett has a way of making big plays down the field that if you don't take some of those shots, you know, then you're not the 6-3 first place football team that you have either. You know, I mean, they've got good weapons here. This Dustin Keller's become a nice weapon for them at tight end. Cotri and Coles, both guys that can make plays down the field. But you know, so that's always the interesting dynamic here, and especially in against a team that can play defense against the run the way that the Patriots do. You know, Brett Favre is going to have to be a major element in this game if they're going to win. You're not going to just line up and blow Vince Wilfork and Ty Warren and these guys off the ball. It's just not going to happen. Even though their offensive line's greatly improved, so you know, that's sort of one of the interesting questions with this game. How much can the Jets get their running game or keep their running game going? And how much is it going to be just fall right back on the lap of Brett Favre and have to make plays in the passing game? Because, you know, the Patriots have made a good living for a long time in making teams one-dimensional with those guys up front and then forcing the other quarterback to throw the ball.
Chris, having played receiver in the league, you see some of the young guys now, and it almost seems like there's a torch passing going on with Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and those guys kind of becoming the top level receivers in the league. Is there something that ties some of the kind of that new age of receivers together the same way maybe, you know, in the 90s you saw more basketball player types, maybe, you know, keep going further back you saw more track stars?
You know, the game is a little bit different now. I think that there was a stretch of time in the early 80s where it was all zone, and then we started to see some Raiders and Cleveland Browns and some of those types of teams that wanted to come out and play bump and run, man-to-man, and get in your face, and then teams figured out how to use motion and picks and bunch formations to keep the bump and run, man-to-man things away. So even a guy like Deion Sanders, as great as he was, you couldn't really just line up and say, all right, I'm going to take this guy all over the field because they're going to pick you four times coming across the field. So now you've got to fall out into some combination coverages, You know, so the game is just constantly evolving. But I tell you, it's nice when you have, and clearly Wes Welker has been the dynamic player, you know, catching balls on this team this year. But you wonder what Wes Welker would be without Randy Moss sitting on the other side and, you know, being that constant threat down the field, you know, to where there would be the possibility on any given play, hey, if you start getting too cute with your combination coverages on Wes Welker, Randy Moss, they're just going to chunk one up to him. So, you know, it's a catcher's game right now. I think the thing that's surprising me a little bit more, because teams are playing so many zones and they're playing so many different combinations, that you're seeing the guys with the great hands and even some Anquan Boldin kind of guys, these bigger, stronger, the Braylon Edwards guys, you know, the guys that T.O. that can catch a ball and the first guy misses the tackle because he's tackling some guy that weighs 230 pounds. Brandon Marshall's another one of those in that category. So it's not always about speed, you know. There's plenty of quick little guys. There's this pure speed guys. But the term power wide receiver, I don't think I would have anticipated, you know, at any point in my lifetime. But clearly there are some power wide receivers out there right now.
One more thing on that, Chris, is that it does seem like guys are starting to contribute a little earlier in their careers, too. I think you see Avery in St. Louis, Jackson in Philadelphia. I mean, is that maybe a product of, I mean, colleges preparing these guys a little bit better? Because I know in the past there's been the perception that, you know, it takes 3 years for a receiver really to come into his own. Do you see something that's showing you why some of these guys are able to contribute a little bit earlier in their careers?
Well, if you watched any of the Texas Tech and Texas game, you probably have a pretty good answer to that one. You know, when I played college football, you know, half the teams in the country were playing the wishbone. And now you barely can turn on the television anymore that they're not in the shotgun and four wide receivers and spread the field. And I think that was the biggest difference that we're seeing now, is that you have receivers coming in the game that have experience reading defenses. And it sounds funny, we always talk about quarterbacks reading defenses, but I remember Joe Gibbs saying one time that he thought that, you know, other than quarterback, the next smartest position had to be receiver, because those guys are reading defenses and coverage on the fly the same way the quarterback is. And if they can't do that, then they can't play right away in the NFL. So by these teams doing much more of that, and we're seeing more of the pro-style offenses in college, they're coming in a little bit better prepared.
Chris, you mentioned the job that the Patriots coaching staff had done. When you think of all the losses, especially the one to Brady, I mean, is this right up there with some of the more heralded ones that they've done in the past?
I made the comment this past week on our Showtime Inside the NFL show that I thought it was, I think it's every bit the equal of what they did last year. And, you know, Phil, who likes to argue with me no matter what I say, kind of laughed a little bit. But, you know, not only are they doing it, you know, with Tom Brady and everybody, you talk about that one, but they are doing it across the board. I mean, they've got a lot of young players playing in here with Mayo and Guyton and Wheatley and Will Hyde, and you go right down the line of, you know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and a lot of these guys are making not only contributions but helping to win the game. And one of the interesting things that I think is coming out of this thing is that, you know, you sort of got the feeling watching the Patriots in that Super Bowl last year that, you know, maybe they're getting a little long in the tooth, and, you know, we're kind of getting to that transition period now where they got to start getting some younger players in there, and, you know, that whole thing. Well, some of these injuries, it's sort of happening naturally now that they are developing other guys that can play. You know, the two safeties now have had to play a lot more than what they've had to play in the past, Merriweather and Sanders. And, you know, you can see the improvement there. We're seeing a lot more speed at linebacker, you know, a secondary that is forced to play young guys because they just don't have other guys back there right now. So, you know, if the Patriots can still work their way into the playoffs this year, I think it'll be a little bit remarkable. But for the long-term building of this franchise, there's some real there's a real asset I mean, it's going to help the franchise long term as well, because so many of these young kids are playing and contributing in big games.
Hey, Chris, this is Scott Beck with USA Today. I got more of a general league question for you regarding quarterbacks.
Yeah.
This year it seems they're a lot more accurate than they have been in more in recent years. Their completion percentage, I believe, is an NFL record, 61%. And they're on pace to throw about 70 fewer interceptions than last year, which is a pretty significant number. I wanted to get your take on if you've noticed this and what has been, you know, the reason behind it.
I think there's a little bit of a, and maybe we point to the Patriots again for part of this, you know, that the wide receiver screen wasn't always in vogue in the NFL, because unlike college, you couldn't send linemen downfield to block. You know, in the pros, you've got to block behind the line of scrimmage, whereas in college, you can send your guys downfield to block on those kinds of plays. But a lot of teams are playing the same defenses, you know, where we're seeing a lot of soft zone coverages where essentially between the 20s, they're going to give you those throws. If you want to throw a five-yard pass, go on with it. And so offenses now have just said, well, we're going to take it. You know, don't dump, and you're between the 20s, and now you get down in the red zone, and now it's game on. You know, now you get the blitzes, now you get the, you know, all the hot reads, now you get all the different things. But these teams do not want to give up those, you know, 60 and 70 and 80-yard bombs. Maybe Randy Moss had something to do with that, watching him play a year ago. But they're playing softer. You're seeing a lot of two-deep safeties where it's really tough to get the ball down the field. And a willingness on the part of defensive coordinators to allow those underneath throws and come up and make the tackle and see if a team can put together a 10-play drive without a holding penalty, without a fumble, without an interception, without something going wrong on the offensive side, is kind of the style that's in vogue right now. I mean, I don't know this, but my guess is that the league has probably gone from a league where you get 12 to 13 possessions a game down to a league where you get 9 to 10 possessions a game. And I could be dead wrong on that, but that's what it feels like to me. And if you watch the Patriots-Bills game last week, that one felt like there was about 6 possessions for each team during the game. So I think that has something to do with it.
Okay, Chris, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. And now we turn the call over to Steve Mariucci. Steve, do you want to give a few opening comments? As everyone knows, Steve is an analyst for NFL Network as well on Total Access, as well as the pre-halftime and post-game shows.
Well, there you have it. No, thanks, everybody. Good to be on with you. I'm just getting packed up, getting ready to fly out to Boston tonight. We'll do a little Total Access show tomorrow on Wednesday, and looking forward to the game. It's going to be a doozy.
Any questions for Steve?
Hey, Steve, Eric Boland from Newsday. I'm curious from a coaching standpoint. The Jets signed Ty Law yesterday. He hasn't played a game in 11 months. What kind of a challenge is it realistic that he can perform at an NFL caliber level with 2 days of preparation?
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm sure they're going to work him out, or they already have, to find out what kind of shape he's in. Because certainly, if he's been sitting on the couch, he's not ready to play. But if you know Ty Law, he's probably in very good shape and been training all along, waiting for this opportunity. And just coincidentally, it's against his former team and with the Jets again, and that's an interesting move. I'm anxious to see if he has any participation in a game with such short preparation time. But good acquisition. The guy's, he's still, what is he, 32 years old? I'm not sure about that, but
34.
He's 34. Well, he's in Brett Favre's generation, and he still has some football left in him.
Steve, is there a difference? But you said he's probably in good shape. Is there a difference between being in good shape and being in football shape?
Absolutely, yeah, it is, and it depends on what kind of training that he's been doing. I don't know if he has a personal trainer, or if he's been doing a lot of, sprinting and backpedaling and turning and running. And there's a lot of a defensive back trains differently than a wide receiver does. You know, you're running backwards and turning and running much more often, and it's a different kind of reaction. And the groins and the hamstrings and the hip flexors are going to get tested on the first drive. And so, but my guess, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's smart enough to know what's required to be in shape for a training camp. You know, whether, you know, he's not going to have to go through the two-a-days and get sore and test his legs that way, but they'll gradually work him in. If he plays, when he plays, whether it's this game or next game, I'm sure he'll have a role. I doubt if it'll be an every down sort of a thought. It'll probably be in nickel situations at first, and then see how he feels and work him in gradually that way.
Do you think it's a coincidence he was signed right before the Patriots game?
No, I think it's, you know, timing is everything. who knows? I don't know how long they've been discussing this or in need of another corner to fill their roster or add to their roster. But, you know, if you can get a guy that's a little bit familiar with the opponent and you want to discuss some things with him, I suppose, you know, that might be a quick conversation. But, you know, I think if he's available and there's a need, you do it as soon as you can, and this was the time.
Steve, Chris was just on, and he was saying that he thinks that the job that the Patriots coaching staff has done is equal to last year. What do you make of it?
You know what I've always felt from afar, and I don't know Bill Belichick all that well, or Scott Pioli. I know Scott a little bit, but they have always been, even with their Super Bowl teams, go back a few years, they have always been able to replace the injured players with somebody, you know, we may not be all that familiar with. And they don't seem to skip a beat. It's been amazing. From a coach's viewpoint, I watch them and say, all right, they've got this injury, that injury, and this injury, and all of a sudden their production should fall off. And it doesn't seem to fall off as dramatically as some other teams. And that credits the skill in their scouting department in finding guys that are in later rounds, and I'm not just talking Tom Brady now, I'm talking about guys that are definite backups, special teams players, that end up playing on a regular basis, and they don't skip a beat. And that means they're finding guys as free agents. They're doing their homework. They're looking under every rock for the best players that they can find. And they have done maybe the best job in the National Football League with their complete roster of 53 players and practice squad guys. It's been excellent, and you got to credit Scott Pioli for that and his staff.
From a coach's perspective, can you do an equally good job with a team that's sort of just, you know, staying afloat or still being good compared to a team that was undefeated or a team that's going to, you know, the AFC Championship game?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question, but this whole thing is more than Tom Brady and Matt Cassel. There's some other replacements. You're talking about Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. You know, where did he come from? You know, and all of a sudden he's scoring touchdowns and playing well, and they're not afraid to run the ball with new guys, and I've been impressed. And I was around losing Steve Young in San Francisco, and I know how what kind of effect that has on a team. You simply lose your mojo and your confidence. Confidence as a team, can our new guy win games for us? And certainly Matt Cassel has been developing every week. They're getting more and more comfortable with him. He made plays with his legs last week, running around like he was in high school and making first downs and touchdowns, and I was impressed. He's growing up as a quarterback. He's certainly adding to his value when the time comes for a new contract. I've just been impressed with the makeup of their team, from the coaching staff to their depth on the roster and how they keep fighting. You know, they're going to be in a dogfight all the way through. They're not going to run away with this division, as we all know. This game with the Jets is going to be really telling. But Miami and Buffalo are, you know, breathing down their necks. It's a tight division, and my guess it's going to be tight all the way through December. But it's been fun to watch a team lose their great quarterback and see them not only hanging on, but you know, out in front of their division and playing pretty darn well.
Steve, do you think this is the best coaching job Bill Belichick's done, given all the injuries and the fact that they still keep winning?
Well, it's pretty darn good. I don't know if it's his best job. That's hard to say, because every team really is a new team. Every year is a new year, and your opponents change too. The strength in your division changes a little bit sometimes. But, you know, it's only the halfway mark, basically, and let's see where it ends up, you know. I mean, it could end up just unbelievable, you know. If he can win 12 or 13 games this year, that would be an amazing coaching job, and that's possible. But let's just see where it all ends up. You know, we know that Bill Belichick has done a great job there, and, you know, whether this is his best, you know, year or not, maybe his most challenging, given the circumstances. But let's see where it ends up. It's got a chance to be excellent.
Chris Collinsworth, I'd asked him about the whole game manager tag in reference to Brett Favre now, and he brought up that Mike McCarthy tried it, and now Eric Mangini's kind of getting him to go that way, at least the last couple weeks. Is that a transformation that could ever possibly stick with Brett Favre?
No. You know, they're going to play whatever way they can. You know, part of that game manager thing is you know, you have to see what the score is. You know, if they get behind, forget managing the game, they're going to open it wide open and throw the ball around and try to get back in the game. If they're up, you know, the last game with the Rams in 40-0 at halftime, my goodness, it's you don't get games like that, and so you're not going to be able to take chances or throw the ball or be in the shotgun and start flinging it around. It's just not going to happen. There's no need for it. And I like the way this Jets team is developing. You know, when we saw the Patriots and the Jets play second week of the season, of course the Patriots winning it with Matt Cassel in his first start and Brett Favre really just in his second game in that offense, you know, you saw a couple of quarterbacks trying to find their way, and it was a 19-10 game, not real exciting. Neither guy threw the ball all that well or all that often. But now I see both of these offenses opening up some, much more efficient and productive. You know, Brett was getting hit earlier in the year more than he had all of last year in Green Bay, and I was starting to worry about if he's going to survive it or not, because he was taking some hits. You know, what does he have, 16 sacks or so? Not a lot of sacks, but a lot of hits, and he's going to throw the ball and take a hit quite often. But lately, they ran the ball more. They're protecting him better. They're getting the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker. And so he hasn't had sacks now lately, they're not having to rely on his arm. They're playing great defense. They took the ball away from the Rams five times and got 159 yards of return yardage off the takeaways, which set up scores and scored points, and it was an amazing team effort. But the defense is greatly improved since the beginning of the year, and now you add a Ty Law, and I think the Jets are going to be a real contender in that division.
Hey, Steve, this is Scott Beck with USA Today. I got more of a general league-wide question for you. I asked Chris the same thing. I've noticed that the quarterbacks this year are throwing fewer interceptions and have a much higher accurate completion percentage. Have you noticed this change this year, and what do you think has been the change behind that?
Well, what's evolving other than the Wildcat offense? What we see in the league, a couple things. There are a lot more, it seems to me anyway, without doing research and statistics, it seems to me there's a lot more throws that are safer type throws, less risk. And you're talking about screens, bubble screens, college screens. You're talking about if a DB is off 7 yards or greater, quarterbacks will pop up and throw them a smoke route, which is like a one-step kind of throw. Give me the ball in the line of scrimmage. You're seeing teams, Green Bay has been doing this for a while, even on run plays, will pop up and throw the ball to a wide receiver, whether it's on a quick slant or a smoke route, while the offensive line is run blocking. Okay, it's kind of an audible just between the receiver and the quarterback, because it's a soft defensive coverage. They're popping the ball out there. Well, those are all high percentage throws. You're getting more and more of that. You're also seeing quarterbacks, you know, it's not just Peyton Manning at the line of scrimmage, run or pass, depending on how many are in the box. You're seeing more teams do that now. So, you know, quarterbacks then will tend to throw the ball against the loaded up box in less coverage than they are against all kinds of coverage and double coverages. So I think it's, you know, it's only a percentage or two, I suppose, but I think the game is evolving a little bit that way. Plus, I think teams are getting the ball out quicker with three-step throws, maybe more often, just to protect that precious quarterback, and so maybe statistically you're finding a higher percentage of completions that way.
Yeah, like you're correct. The percentage is not really that much more than it has been in a few years past. But what I was more looking at was like interceptions. You know, they're on pace to throw about 70 fewer than last year, and like 60 fewer than
Well, it's probably the risk involved. You know, when you start throwing the ball up and over and between linebackers and into the secondary, then you're going to run the risk of higher interceptions. And so when you're throwing the ball underneath, short and underneath coverage, then typically those are, you know, you get fewer interceptions with those types of throws. What do I need to pack, thermals or no?
Oh, it is cold out here.
How cold is cold?
It's getting there. I would definitely pack, not thermals yet, but long sleeves and sweatshirt.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.